This is the continuation of an interview with Thelma Eisen, tape 2, side 1.
All right then, continuing on. Okay, I really want to focus on this next category, which is World War II. And we understand that one of the reasons that Philip Wrigley started the All-American Girls League was part of what he considered keeping baseball alive during the war, also some patriotism, and things like that. And did you see your role as a professional baseball player as patriotic during this time? Did you feel you were part of the war effort, you know, entertaining people at home and keeping baseball alive? Did you have any feelings like that?
Yes, I did. Mm-hmm. I felt that we were out there to entertain,
mm-hmm.
and to help with the war effect, because people had to do something. And of course, you know, this was really before television.
Mm-hmm.
And people had to get out and do things, and you had to be very careful, you know, when war was on about lights on the West Coast here.
Right.
And when you were back there, why, people had to get out. They had to do things. And I felt that those teams, once they got all their fans behind them, that they really enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Did you have family or friends that served during World War II?
I had a brother that was in the Maritime Service.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Were there other kinds of things that you and your teammates did that helped the war effort? Did they, for instance, do team photographs saying, you know, by war bonds or anything like that? Did you ever have to do any talks or meet the press beforehand and possibly talk about the war effort? Was there anything like that before, you know, meeting the press before a game and...
I remember going to a theater one time, and they introduced us on the stage,
uh-huh.
and the girls got up and gave a little talk, but I don't recall if it was about the war effect.
Okay. Did you do anything outside of baseball to help the war effort, or was it just, did you feel your role as a chick was enough?
Before I went back with the chicks, why, I did work in some of the factories to help the war effect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I can tell you about that now. I didn't know if you wanted that later.
Sure, we can cover that now.
Yeah. Well, during, I think, 1942-43, I worked for Lockheed.
Oh.
Which is, you know, the aircraft.
Okay.
You know, airplanes and fuel pumps,
uh-huh.
fighter planes, and I did work there. And then also, just before we went back to spring training, I worked for Western Pipe and Steel and the Todd Shipyards
uh-huh.
in San Pedro, California. They had a softball team, and they wanted the girls to come down there and play and entertain, and they gave us jobs.
Oh!
So, and that was wonderful, too. And then from there, why then when tryouts came for the All-American, why then we all went down and tried out and then left and felt that we were doing our job helping the war effect by going back and playing ball in the ball league.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. It's interesting. Let's see. What do you think the role of women was during the war? You know, we often read about that image of Rosie the Riveter and ladies going into the factories and things like that, and basically everybody pitching in and doing what they can to what they could to help. But what do you recall for yourself and the role of women in general? What do you think that was during the war? Was that to more just to be a comfort and to help out, or was it more of an active changing role for women?
Well. Before that, you know, women were supposed to be be home.
Right.
Taking care of the kids. And the husband went out and worked all the time.
Mm-hmm.
When the war came and the women got out and they were beginning to see that they could do anything, that you could train a woman as well as you could a man, maybe not physically,
mm-hmm.
we had brains too.
Right.
And it made a big difference. I think it changed the United States in their view of women and what they could do. And they were back home doing all the work that had to be done to get the war over. I personally felt that I was doing my job and I knew that I could do anything if I had the right training.
Right.
And it made a big difference in the women. The thing that set the women back was when the war ended.
Right. Mm-hmm. And that even changed the league somewhat.
That's right, it did.
So.
Definitely.
Okay. Now, we were reading that Dorothy McGuire thought that she had lost her husband in the war. Do you remember how the team reacted to that?
Well, she never said too much when she went out and played ball.
Okay.
You know, that night when she heard that news.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what can you say or do? You just go out and do what you have to.
Right.
She was wonderful.
Do you recall any other teammates losing a friend or a family member during the 44 season?
No, I don't.
Okay. All right. Is there anything else you can recall about the war? Well, a member of the Chicks team, is there anything that that stands out? Where you were when you maybe heard the news of a certain battle or anything like that?
No, but everybody kept, you know, in touch with the newspapers
uh-huh.
going on.
Okay.
And it was, you know, we were all young and hoping it would be over soon.
Right, sure.
Never wanted to, you know, see who was lost. That was a sad, terrible thing, people that had lost their lives.
Yeah, yeah. Do you think perhaps that if you wouldn't have gone to the All-American Girls League, that you, well, would you have stayed, do you think, working with the factory work, or would you have ever joined any type of branch of the services?
I think I would have stayed with the factory work,
mm-hmm.
because I enjoyed the work that I was doing. I like to work with my hands.
Right.
And I know that some of the ladies that I knew back there retired from the factory there.
Oh, okay.
Very good positions as they went on, you know, in life, and it worked out just fine for them.
Mm-hmm. So you have a feeling that that's probably what would have happened to you if the league wouldn't have come along. Okay. Let's see. Now, after 1944 and the winning of the championship, when did you go home at that point then? Did you leave right for Los Angeles?
Yes, I went home every year.
Every year, okay.
Back to Los Angeles.
Okay. Where, when did you find out that the Chicks were going to be moving to Grand Rapids? How did you hear about the dissolving of the Milwaukee
by
branch?
Letter.
By letter.
Yes.
From Max Carey, or?
Well, from, I believe that, let's see, it was the Chicks, and there was another team that were sponsored by the league.
Mm-hmm.
The other teams, I think, were with, they had trustees, let's see, I guess it was Milwaukee and Minneapolis.
Minneapolis Orphans?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Run, controlled by a board of trustees.
Okay.
And we received a letter from the business manager at the time, you know, telling us that they were going to be moving.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that, of course, I was still with the team if I signed a contract.
Right.
And so we went to Grand Rapids the next year.
Okay, so you did go to Grand Rapids.
Yes, I went to Grand Rapids.
Okay. And at Grand Rapids you continued to play in the outfield?
Yes.
Okay. And that was for the 45 season then?
45 season.
Okay. And who was the manager of that team then? Do you recall?
Benny Myers, you know, I can't
Oh, that's no problem.
Yeah, you can ask Alma Ziegler, she'll know.
Okay, yeah, she's going to be...
She stayed with the chicks forever.
Oh, I see. Yeah. So when they went to Grand Rapids, she went and stayed.
Yeah, well, she was there until they finished.
Okay. Did you, how long did you actually play in the league then?
I was there until 1952.
Okay, so could you kind of tell me, you were with the chicks first.
I went from Milwaukee to the chicks.
Okay.
And then in 1946, they added two new teams.
Mm-hmm.
One of them was the Peoria Red Wings.
Right.
And what they did then was to allocate players, good players from some of the other teams like Grand Rapids. Grand Rapids had four outfielders, and
mm-hmm.
Pat Keagle was still with them.
Okay.
I was with them, and I think Vicky Panos was still there.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't need all these players, good players, so they wanted to take good players to help the new team. So
right.
I was sent to Peoria.
Okay.
And I played there for a year and a half.
Okay, so that was 46.
Yeah,
46
and part of 47.
Okay. And then from...
And then in 47, they had the biggest trade in the league, the first and the big one.
Mm-hmm.
And they traded Faye Dancer.
Okay.
For Tybee Eisen.
Mm-hmm.
I went to Fort Wayne, and Faye went to Peoria.
Oh, okay. So you went to the Daisies then.
Right.
All right.
And then I stayed with the Daisies until my last year in 1952. I played through that season.
Okay. And when did your injury occur?
Oh, that was probably with the Grand Rapids, I believe.
Okay.
45.
So that halved your season there, basically. Or when did that occur? Beginning, middle, end of the season?
You know, I don't recall. 44, 45 now, come to think of it. What I did, it must have been Arthur Meyerhoff was in charge of everything then.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a wonderful man because I had hurt myself and couldn't work. And during the off season, he sent me a check every month to help pay my expenses for my injury.
I see.
Which I thought was wonderful.
Right.
I couldn't work. That time.
Yeah. So if you wouldn't have had the injury, though, normally when you went home, you would work.
Yes, right.
Okay.
Your contract ended when the season ended.
Okay.
But he was a very nice man, and in fact, he wanted me to stay back in Chicago at one time. I was looking for a career of some type. He thought maybe I could fit into his company, but it didn't work out that way.
I see.
I was too inhibited.
Oh.
You know?
Uh-huh.
Like I said, he needed somebody that was aggressive to go out to the... He had an advertising agency.
Right.
And he needed people to go out and, you know, get advertisement. I could hardly open my mouth.
Mm.
So it didn't work out.
No. What, you had mentioned earlier that you had taken some college courses prior to playing. What types of courses were those?
It was the city college here on mainly math. Algebra, you know,
Things
like that to sharpen my brain a little bit.
I see. Okay. I was just wondering if that would have made a difference in terms of, the career that you say that you were kind of looking for or something, you know, some type of position.
You know, all the things I wanted to do, I was so inhibited, I didn't know how to push myself. Came later.
That changed, yes.
Much later.
Okay. So then you ended up with the Fort Wayne Daisies, and you played your last game with them
right.
in 1952.
Right.
Can you explain how you felt during your final game? Was it what was that like? Was it at home or on the road?
Well, at that time, I really didn't know I was going to retire.
Mm.
It was after I got home, and I woke up one day and thought, I don't know how to do anything to earn a living.
I see.
And it dawned on me, you know, that I better get busy. Time's a-wasting.
Uh-huh.
And this is when I went out looking for a job, and I did find one, and I decided not to go back to play ball, mainly also because my muscles at that time were, my lower back wasn't in too good a shape.
Uh-huh.
You know, you get to injuries and so on without realizing it.
Uh-huh.
I thought it was best not to play anymore.
Okay. So you you kind of made that decision after the season ended.
Right.
So you didn't really know, it wasn't like the last, you didn't know the last game, this is my last game.
Right.
Okay. Okay, I see. So could you tell me then, after you made the decision to leave, how did you go, did you write anybody to let them know or phone anybody to say?
Well, when they sent the contracts out, you know, I wrote back.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, took care of that, said that I'd be retiring and wouldn't come back.
I see. Okay. And at that point then, what kind of numbers did you retire with in terms of, did you ever have a career batting average in, like, base stealing, anything like that? Do you recall any numbers?
No, I don't recall none. I'd have to look it up in the book.
Oh, that's no problem. No problem. Just to kind of backtrack briefly, how did you, when World War II ended, how did the end of the war affect your life, if in any way? Were you just relieved for the country that it was over, or was there any personal?
Oh, well, we were relieved coming back to California, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We had, you know, blackouts here.
Right.
And it was so wonderful to be able to live like a human being
again. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That is true. I do recall, I mean, I do remember now from various classes that the West Coast really had to handle it in a whole different way.
Oh, yes, we did, because you never knew. There was one time, I remember, when they thought that the enemy was coming in the submarines here on the coast of California in Santa Barbara, and they were shooting off ACAC guns here.
Oh.
I tell you, it was scary. We thought we were being attacked.
My goodness.
And they did find a submarine or something, if I remember correctly,
uh-huh.
You know, at that time. So it was quite a relief to know that we were going to be living a normal life again.
Right, right.
And also that, they did have rationing here.
Uh-huh.
And at one time, too. So it was wonderful to be back.
Yeah, okay.
To normal.
Right, good. Okay. Now then, in 52, you decide that you need to start thinking about the future. Did you have any idea that the league would be ending just 2 years later? Was there any sense that numbers, fan attendance was declining, and it was declining steadily? Or you just, it was just a very personal decision that didn't have any influence on it then?
No, it didn't have any influence on it then. But I could see that they weren't drawing the fans.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like they were. Fort Wayne had, that particular town, I thought, had some great fans.
Mm-hmm.
They were very loyal to the team. And But the league itself, I think, was having a problem with the people that owned the franchise, you know.
Right.
And particularly some of the hotel people that owned, you know, there was money that they had to dig up to pay the girls and so on. I think it was becoming a problem in most of the towns.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But that didn't have any decision on my retiring.
Right.
I thought I had to go out and find something to do for the rest of my life.
Okay, so then that is my next question. What did you do after you then left the league in 1952?
Well, after I left the league, I looked around for a job. I really couldn't do too much except what I did during the war years,
uh-huh.
With the Lockheed and so on. So I could do electromechanical things.
Uh-huh.
And so after looking and looking, I finally found a local job in Santa Monica, California, at a place that did work for the Navy and the Army and so on. And they made called pressure transducers and medical instruments.
Oh, uh-huh.
And it was called Statham Instruments. And Mr. Statham was a scientist and an inventor.
Uh-huh.
And he helped to develop the first heart, you know, that Dr. DeBakey did.
Oh, right.
They did all that, and in his factory there, why he helped to design the pressure transducers that they used during the war for measuring and for the, what am I trying to say, the first heart that they did. Brain, that man, and so anyway, I worked for him for 7-8 years.
Okay.
And then they moved the place, the factory, and went about 50 miles away from here. I didn't quite know what I wanted to do because I didn't want to move, actually.
Right.
So I stayed in the area here and quit my job and went out looking for another job. Finally did find one with GTE.
Oh, what did you do for them?
Well, it all seems to fall in place. I was one of the first women that they hired to do work on their switches, in their switch rooms.
Okay.
And I didn't know anything about telephones or switches or anything, but I think I got a college education with them.
Right.
By, they keep sending you to school, you know, and there were 4 or 5 of us did that type of work, and it was great. I loved it.
And when what was the year that you started with GTE?
Oh, golly, now let me think about that. I don't know, but I know I retired in 86. I worked for them probably about 17, 18 years.
Okay, I see. So that was a good move.
Yeah, yes, it was. Because women the same as men, but they did at that company, at the time that I worked for them anyway. And they were very fair, and I wasn't a youngster anymore when I went to work for them, and they hired me anyway, you know, in my 40s.
Yeah, that's great. During this time, did you continue to play softball or baseball?
Yeah, that's what I was going to get back to. That once we came back to Los Angeles, why, Orange County, which is not Los Angeles County, but Orange County had a women's softball team that had been there since the early 30s. They were always world champions.
Wow.
And they had asked me if I would, well, no, that's not true. In 1952, most of the girls that played in the All-American League came back to California, and we got up a team of some softball players and some of the girls that played in the All-American. And we wanted to get into the league in Los Angeles. And they wouldn't let us in because we had the ASA, the Amateur Softball Association, wouldn't let us in because we had played professional baseball.
Oh, really?
But they said that if we stayed out for 2 years, in 2 years, why, we wouldn't be as good as we were.
So
they would let us come back into the league and give us our card. I couldn't believe that either. So we did that. We got a team together, and people like Lois Florek, I don't know if you know the name or not.
Not familiar with her, no.
Rockford Peaches, a wonderful pitcher, and Dorothy Doyle, that plays for the Peaches. We all lived in California. We got a team together, and we beat every softball team we had around here for 2 years. So I finally got my card back, and so then I had a chance to play for the city of Orange, the Orange Lionettes, and we went on in the 1950, I think, 3, 4, and 5, won the world championship back.
Wow.
Again, in softball.
Uh-huh.
With the ASA. So I did do that, and I played with them until 1957.
Okay.
And then I thought it was time to retire.
Okay, officially.
Yeah, right.
I see. Did you ever do any coaching then or anything like that for any of those softball teams?
No, I didn't do any of that.
Okay.
But what I did do after that then, in the 1958, 1959, 1960, and so on, I still wanted to do some kind of sport, so I joined a field hockey association.
Oh,
Where they had a lot of the colleges played along the coast here.
Right.
And so I played field hockey for 4 or 5 years.
Uh-huh.
And I enjoyed that very much. And then I thought it was time that I had better running around. down because the body wasn't holding up too well.
Right. Oh, wow. And now, do you play golf. You golf, right. That's because you said you were attending, a luncheon today?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Right, at noon.
Great.
I took up golf, and I went to a college out here because I really didn't know how to play very well.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I pitch and putt a little bit.
Right.
And I went to a college. Like I said, I went there 4 years to get a PhD in golf. But they had a wonderful teacher there, and they had senior citizens that, could join in.
Uh-huh.
And I learned that they start from the very beginning. This is a club, all the different parts of it, how it's put together.
Uh-huh.
They spend, a few lessons on that, and then they go on out to the field and show you how to hit and what to do. So I had 4 years of that.
Great.
So I'm an average golfer. I'm not very good, but I certainly enjoy it.
Good. Yeah, that's nice. It's nice to do something.
Well, I'm much older now, and I'm not competing with anybody, just having fun.
Right. Okay. Now, you mentioned earlier that you've been to a couple of reunions for the All-American Girls. Or you had, at least you mentioned Dorothy McGuire's son coming?
Yes, in 1982, just before that, we had a newsletter that started going out.
Uh-huh.
And decided that we would have a Players Association where we could get together every few years and see how everybody is and so on.
Uh-huh.
And so we had one in 1982, the first one, and it was wonderful. We had it in Chicago, and loaded with friends and people to play that were still around,
Great.
We had a wonderful time. We spent 4 or 5 days in Chicago. Then we had another one about 2 years later.
Uh-huh.
And then in 1988, of course, the Players Association, we went into Cooperstown.
Yes, right.
And had this display.
Right.
And then since then, I'm on the Players Association's board of directors.
Okay.
And we have couple of times a year, for our aims and things that we want to do for, our history.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And so we're going to be having another reunion in Indian Wells, California, which is in the Palm Springs area, at the end of this year in October.
Oh, nice.
So we're planning it now, and it's going to be wonderful.
How many people are involved with this?
The Players Association.
Right.
Well, we have associate members also who are family members.
Okay.
And there's probably 300 or 400 people that are involved in it.
Oh, wow.
And it's just been grand because everybody keeps in touch, and we have a newsletter that goes out. And
yeah.
Dottie Collins sends it out. I guess you know her name.
Yep, yes, yes.
And she sends it out, and they've done some very good things, I think, in keeping the All-American name, present.
Right. Yeah, I know they really have. We've been lucky enough to get some information from Cooperstown and also from South Bend and the Northern Indiana Historical Society's been very helpful.
Oh yes, they have.
Did you see the movie A League of Their Own?
Oh yes. Uh-huh.
I wonder some of the cast. Okay. I'm wondering what you thought of that representation of
I thought it was a great movie. Great entertainment,
mm-hmm.
But it didn't all happen that way.
Ah.
But that's Hollywood,
Exactly.
I think they made up a story, but the background was real.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And, I thought it was lovely. I really enjoyed it.
That's great. Okay. Kind of in the final questions, what I'm going to do here is turn my tape off and...
This is the continuation and conclusion of an interview with Thelma Eisen, Tape 2, Side 2.
Okay, there we go. What was your most important memories of your time with the Milwaukee Chicks? Is there anything, as we've been talking, that really stands out in your mind?
Concentrating on baseball, period.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And Well, there were a few games in there, you know, that was important. I remember one time running into the shortstop. I was out in the outfield with my ass together, and we both split our chins.
Ooh.
Bleeding all over the place from the impact.
Oh, my goodness.
I always remember that.
I would say.
Yeah, but no, nothing really outstanding other than I particularly was so busy, you know, trying to learn the game.
Right.
Keep my head above water so I wouldn't lose my spot.
Right.
There was another time I do remember I got up off the bench and went out to pick up a bat. And Terry Davis, did I say?
There was a Gladys Davis.
Gladys Davis.
Right.
They called her Terry.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Uh-huh. She was swinging a bat and I didn't see it. I got right in her line.
Oh,
that was the first time I ever saw stars in my life.
Oh,
and,
my.
You know, little things like that I remember about. Now, take care. You don't want to get injured.
Yes.
Yeah. But, no, I guess the most outstanding thing to me was when we won the championship.
Okay.
And we received our pins. I was just thrilled to death. I still have that pin.
Oh,
every once in a while I look at it.
Nice.
1944 Milwaukee Chicks.
Great. How about your most important memories of your whole time with the league? Anything that...
With the league itself?
Mm-hmm.
Well, after the season, and I think it was in the early 40s,
mm-hmm.
They had two teams that traveled north, Central and South America.
Oh.
And I was on one of the teams. And I remember going to Nicaragua.
Wow.
And, you know, we were still, you know, in 49, you know, so on, still quite young. And I remember meeting the president of the country.
Mm.
They took the two teams into the palace, introduced us to the president, and entertained us royally. You know,
uh-huh.
We were still kids.
Wow.
And I had never really been out of the country and like that, you know.
Exactly.
And it was just marvelous to be able to be to see how other people lived, because
sure.
In Nicaragua at that time they were still washing their clothes in the rivers, you know,
uh-huh.
And banging them with sticks, you know, to get them clean. And they still had the oxen. They were pulling the carts, you know. We played on some ball field that was out in the sticks, and
wow.
The seats were all stone.
Oh.
The people came out to see us. It was amazing.
Wow. It was a promotional tour then?
Well, it was, I think what it had to do with one of the men. See, we had three Cuban ball players.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, that's right, yes.
Yeah. And they wanted to tour a Cuban team and an American team.
Ah.
And so when they did that, why one of the men that owned a distillery in Havana helped pay for some of the expenses. And we took the Cuban team with us. And so it was, you know, advertised all through that area there that an American team and a Cuban team would be playing, and that they had beautiful ladies, you know, to be sure and come out.
Uh-huh.
And so when we got to Nicaragua, why they... really went all out. I was amazed at how the people lived. The rich, you know, lived very rich.
Right.
And the poor were down there in the river washing their clothes.
Oh, wow.
It made quite an impression. So the league did a lot of things for me personally.
Uh-huh.
That if I had played, I don't know if I would be the person that I am today.
Yeah.
Which I think I've lived a pretty good life.
Yeah, that is kind of was my next question was, do you feel that being a member of the Chicks and the All-American Girls Professional Baseball League changed your life in any way? And you just touched upon that. Could you elaborate a little bit more on that? I know we talked earlier about gaining personal confidence and things like that.
Like I had said, that I was really inhibited. I had so much inside and I didn't know how to get it out.
Right.
And I think the ball league did that for me, that we got to meet people, and eventually we had to get up and learn how to speak and say things, you know, to meet fans and
Yes.
And it just gave me a lot of self-confidence.
Yeah, good. And friendships and all of that.
Friendships that I still have.
Great.
You know,
yeah. Now, did you keep in touch with Max Carey at all, or?
To a point, see, he became president of the league
right.
later on. And after that first year, not too much, but whenever he'd come to town to see how the different teams were doing,
okay.
we'd always have conversation and a cup of coffee and so on.
Uh-huh.
But other than that, why, no.
Okay. How do you perceive the significance of the All-American Girls League in U.S. history and sports history in particular?
Well, I really think they were the first organized professional baseball team that they had.
Uh-huh.
The first. They have had other players that have played in games, and you hear about them, you know, that the women played on men's teams and so on. I've read some articles about it, which is wonderful. When we were in Cooperstown,
mm-hmm.
I met two little ladies that played in 1925.
Oh!
I couldn't believe it. They were in their 80s.
Wonderful.
It was. Really. I was so thrilled to meet them, and they told us about the baseball team that they played on, but I don't think they were organized.
Right.
And received salary, you know, like the All-American.
Uh-huh.
So we were really, we consider ourselves, and I think we're right, as the first women's baseball team. It was another league.
Uh-huh.
You know, they have the American and the National League, and I feel that then there was the All-American Women's League.
Yes, yes.
And there was the Negro League, of course, so I think there were really four.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, I had heard of the leagues through, basically the first time I'd heard of it was the movie A League of Their Own and the documentary that circulated.
Oh, did you see the documentary?
Yes, uh-huh.
Yeah, I've seen that quite a bit.
Well, you know, I guess we're going to have to watch it again.
We're going to have to go watch it again.
Yes,
That's the documentary that KCET did.
Right.
Yeah, right.
Okay, yeah, that we had seen that. I had seen that a long time ago, and then we watched it as a class last semester. And, but I do recall, and I, you know, never heard of it before, you know, and it was so interesting to me that women were out there doing this, and playing as hard and as well as they played in the 1940s and really could compete. And I thought that was just wonderful. And I guess as now with your Players Association and being in Cooperstown and then having the information, well, it's kind of scattered around the country, but it's out there, more and more people are finding out about it and reading about it, and it kind of sounds like, as a member of the Players Association, that you believe that it's important to tell your experiences.
Our story.
And get it out there.
Why we, I think we're trying to get younger people to take care of the archives for us.
Yes, yes.
And I know there are so many that are interested. Because I've gone, well, when the league, the movie A League of Their Own first came out, we went to the theater locally here in Santa Monica. And as we were coming out of the theater, I saw a mother with some little kids there, and she kept staring and staring. And
mm-hmm.
finally she came up and said, do I know you, or were you in the movie? I was with Faye Dancer.
Uh-huh.
And another lady there. And I said, but we were in the documentary. She said, that's where I saw it. Now, see, they saw that on KCET, which is our local public television.
Uh-huh.
And I was shocked. People know me, you know, and say, but we were in that, and they remembered. So apparently it's made an impact.
Yes, yes. Well, just with this class project, you know, that's a small, small part of it all. And then what we're going to do with this information is we'll not only keep it in Milwaukee, but I have hopes to get copies of not necessarily the tapes, but the transcripts sent. We had talked about that a couple weeks ago, sent to South Bend at least. because that'll be nice for them to have on record. And then if anybody wanted to get their hands on the actual tapes, they'd know that they're here in Milwaukee. So,
you know, I don't know if you know Dr. Janice Taylor.
No.
She has done some tapes that are marvelous, and she won a prize for, I think she taught at the University of Chicago there.
Uh-huh.
And she is an associate member of our league.
Oh.
She has done some wonderful tapes, and she's won prizes for them. When we had our reunion in 82 and 84, she came with a TV camera and her crew, backed by the university, and took all these wonderful pictures and interviews. And you might be interested in seeing them sometime.
Yes, definitely.
Get hold of Dottie Collins and ask her about them, because she knows.
Okay, that's great information, certainly. Okay, well, that covers all of the questions that I had. And I'd just like to thank you very much for taking the time this morning and doing this with me. It really has been a neat experience, the whole project, but in particular, finally speaking with you. So I'm going to turn the tape off now.